I don't think the issue here is that people are questioning the veracity of the information that they've been given. I think, Anne, you would agree that this issue is about the detail.
Yeah, absolutely, David, because I think what we are questioning is the withdrawal of a certain breakdown of these statistics that were posted. You know, every day you could go and look at the Barbados, the GIS site, and they would tell you the number of positives, and they would say, you know, five were from people who had a second test, travelers who had a second test, and maybe one or two were from contact tracing, you know, if we had any of those. What we have seen now is a removal of that information. Now we have 50 positives, 40 positives, or whatever the number may be. And, you know, sincerely, I believe that you must have that information because you are tracking and tracing, and that information is critical for your functioning to, you know, manage what is happening and to see. I think you mentioned a downward trend. So if you can mention a downward trend, it means that you know, conceivably must have the statistics for the people who were positive through contact tracing versus persons who were positive as second test visitors. And the question I have is, why are we now not seeing that information in the public sphere?
And before he answers, the government or the ministry is saying there's a downward trend. But does that satisfy you? Is it the way that they're presenting that information to you? So, will it satisfy you?
So the thing I would prefer to see the numbers as requested. But I can say that when I'm doing my research, which is what I'm doing now on this break, when I'm doing research, I use the word downward trend or trend when the figures are not statistically significant. I am not certain how the ministry is using the word trend, but in research processes, when we say trend, it's usually because it doesn't reach a certain statistical significance. But I think here perhaps it might be a more layperson use. But I the key, though, is the withdrawal of that information, which conceivably must be in the hands of the ministry. It was there before. Why can we not see it again?
Can I just
look at that trend.
Dr. Lauder, you want to add?
I certainly didn't mean to give the impression, and I hope I haven't given the impression, that figures that are being released, there's something wrong with them. I mean, absolutely not. My plea was really to have information teasing out what the situation is specifically on the island in terms of clusters, numbers of clusters, relationship between the clusters, numbers of people in the clusters, that kind of thing. Because and simple graphical representation, or using some PowerPoint or figures or something like that, I think would help to educate all of us in the community as to what the state of play is, of the understanding of the Ministry of Health, of these outbreaks. And unfortunately, just with lists of numbers and saying this is a cumulative number doesn't inform that. That's all I'm saying is that sort of graphical information would be extremely useful.
So the big question is, why would you have retreated from giving that kind of information, that kind of detail, when you were doing it previously, Dr. George?
So we haven't retreated at all. There is a lot of information that we will relook at the way how we send out information again, because I think that we're all here to inform the public and to inform the public accurately. So if there are gaps, we are certainly willing to look at that and to make sure that these gaps are explained to the public of Barbados. With respect to the clusters, there are currently 4 clusters being investigated, and those clusters have come up with several leads. As you know, when you investigate a cluster, you move. It's like it may be like a mushroom that you move on, and each case, each primary contact needs to be investigated. And a decision needs to be made if further investigation of that primary contact is necessary. So it is a very dynamic situation with respect to the clusters. And we have put tremendous resources with trying to get to the bottom of the clusters so that we can say at the end of the day that we have a good handle on the situation within the cluster. They, as I said, there are four clusters. There are a couple on the west coast of Barbados. There was one on, actually, the bus crawl was one on the west coast of Barbados. Her Majesty's Dodds is considered a big cluster. And this is how it goes. So because it's a very dynamic situation, and I'm not asking for excuses here, because it's a very dynamic situation, we have to produce the linkages. And this is the difficulty with doing contact tracing. I don't know if Dr. Phillips would like to add any issues here.
No, I think as Dr. George has said, there is a lot of work ongoing. But what has been important for us is noting the interlinkages between the various clusters that we've been finding. So that work continues in terms of mapping the clusters and making sure that we can identify the linkages and potential index cases.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Please, go ahead.
To the public health doctors, how confident are you that we can, you know, if the word that is bandied about is patient zero and linking all of these clusters back to, you know, a traveler, and this is then what the Barbadians will be looking to hear about when we, you know, decide whether or not, you know, this community spread. How confident, considering Barbados' small size? It was December, which is a very social time in Barbados, perhaps one of the most after crop over. How confident, with people going here, there, and everywhere, how confident are you that we can definitively say that, you know, this is not community transmission. We linked everyone back to, you know, every cluster and everyone in each cluster back to some traveler. How confident?
Well, going hand in hand with that question is, the last time I checked, we had heard that we were having difficulty identifying patient zero. So have they been able to do that? Because it's been quite a while. And if they haven't been, then where are we as it relates to the term community spread? So they can tell us that.
Yeah, so we're not currently at a place where we would agree that there is community spread. There are multiple clusters. We are satisfied that there are linkages between the clusters that we've identified. We have not yet identified a patient zero. Work is continuing. And yes, we have to get to the point where we say we know exactly where this started and how this started, or we're not quite as sure. I think that's really the focus of the work in terms of the contact tracing. As Dr. George would have mentioned, it is a significant undertaking. We are optimistic, I would say, that we can map this in a way that demonstrates the linkages, and if not the actual zero, the likely source. So that's where we are.
By your definition, community spread is when you can no longer trace the source. Given this situation,
if I may, I think this is particularly important.
Mm-hmm.
We are using the WHO classification. I know CDC has a different classification. for what CDC refers to as community spread. But in the WHO classification, it speaks to no transmission, local spread, clusters, and then community transmission. So we're using that framework. And in that framework, you're talking about beyond a situation where you can map what is driving the situation and where things are out of control.
Right.
We are not there.
Right. So it's failure of the public health system to get a full handle of the situation within country. And no longer we have our controls have broken down. And it becomes a situation where disease is being spread among the population at a very, very fast rate that outstrips the ability of the public health system to respond.
That's a total definition of community spread that you're bringing to the table. Is that correct?
Is this a new definition, Seth?
No. This is the definition, the total definition of community spread that you're bringing to us?
Yes. As I said, as Arthur Phillips has said, there are different levels, and community spread is the final level wherein your ability to track and trace has been lost. We are not there yet. As I said, the teams are feverishly working on the clusters and trying to see within those clusters what are the index cases, and then mapping those index cases to a further single index case. These are difficult times for us.
Agreed. We understand. But this question is relevant.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
So let me finish. It is easy to speak to finding an index case, but in reality, it is extremely difficult.
Agreed.
Many countries have struggled with this. And as I said, we will continue to put resources on this because we know that the persons who are most important to us are not necessarily the average person who just wants a test or who might have been in a building with a person who was positive. But we want to let the science run the direction of this. And that's why we have put out guidelines on primary contact to make sure that the public health science drives the discussion.
How important is it to find patient zero? And what timeline, if any, are you giving before you can say something definitive to the country if you do not find this patient zero?
That's a good question. I think our contact tracing team and that process would advise us. They believe that we will get to a place where we can map this out fully.
It's about mapping, and it's absolutely in an ideal world, it is great to find the index case. But I would suggest that we, while that's our ultimate goal, we need to make sure that the smaller index cases within the clusters are first get a handle of those smaller groups and then try to bring it all together. So what we have done in the ministry is done a map that is quite extensive that gives the feeling as to how these groups are connected. And that is what how we've been trying to manage this process.
Okay, well, let me get some reaction from the other doctors here.
Can Dr. I just Larder, add a point? I mean, do you think there is...
Well,
it would be nice to see some work in progress. I understand that you haven't got a comprehensive analysis of all these clusters and patient zeros or zero zeros, but to actually release to the public in a way that is easily understandable, some work in progress, I think, would be very useful. I mean, is there any way that you can do that?
I think we need to look at how we can best package the information that we have, so that we can share a better understanding of where we are and what we're working on. So I absolutely agree with you on that.
Can I say one thing about the patient zeros? Because I conceivably, multiple clusters could mean multiple patient zeros. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is, one, community transmission, that determination can affect what you do, whether you go into a lockdown, etc. But there's another very important aspect of it, and it's kind of akin to what we do in medicine called root cause analysis. When things go wrong, we have to go all the way back, because usually when things go wrong, it's not one individual, like, you know, one event. It's usually systems errors, right? And these errors all have to line up to give you the final error. So, for example, in a root cause analysis of this outbreak, the importance of going backwards and seeing where that first case came from, it would inform us, or cases inform us, as to whether it was a protocol breach, not a protocol breach, a quarantine breach, or whether it's because the person who was the index case was allowed out of quarantine legally with a negative test but was positive, or the people, because it may not be one person. And that is a critical thing, David, because if we could do a root cause analysis on this, and we go back and we see, oh, the index cases were all people who were really a family or something released from quarantine with a second negative test, that would be very critical in making a determination that the protocol needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for that information. And as I have said, that the public knows that we have experienced about 10 breaches so far that have come to the attention. Within some of them have been taken up in the law court. These are individuals who have traveled and who have done and breached the quarantine protocols within Barbados. We take these extremely seriously. So it is in addition to the work being done at the contact tracing level, there are continuous breaches by some bad players that make this work more difficult. So we are asking the Barbadian public to understand that there are many moving parts to this. And while we look for the index case, yes, we must have law and order so that the most persons who take the risk of leaving quarantine, either unknown to the persons in the Ministry of Health or deliberately go against the laws of Barbados. This makes the issues even more difficult. So we are fighting a battle on many fronts in the Ministry of Health. Believe me.
I believe you, and I believe that you're saying everything. But before my question...
Just stick a pin. Hold your question. Remember what that question is. Take a note of it, because we have to go to the news right now. And when we come back, we want to hear more about this from all of you, four doctors here discussing this, two from within the public sector and two outside, as we look more closely at the challenge that we are facing here with COVID-19. People are complaining about how long it is taking to get back their test results, for instance. So these are some of the things we're going to come back to as we continue this focus on COVID-19 here in Barbados. Welcome to the continuation of this edition of Down to Brass Tacks for this Friday. We've devoted this program today to a focus on COVID-19. We began with two doctors who are not working within the government sector. Dr. Brendan Larder, a virologist who has been a visitor of long time and frequent visitor to Barbados. Who has got an international reputation. He specialized in HIV, working with HIV, but he also has brought some of his knowledge here to this question of COVID-19, and a local medical physician whose name is Anne. We've been joined by Senior Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Arthur Phillips, and the Chief Medical Officer of Health Acting, Dr. Kenneth George. Now, when we went to the news, and you wanted to raise a point with Dr. George, based upon an answer that he gave you, can you expand on that?
Yes, I think it was in reference to the breach of quarantine. And it goes back to what I had said about the root cause, because I feel like sometimes we have, the investigations are ongoing, but on Monday we were told in the conference that we're confident that the protocol at the border is not the problem. Even though, you know, even 5 days, 4 days later, we still haven't concluded the investigation. We don't know the root cause or the patient zeros, but that was said on Monday. Then we mentioned breach of protocol, and Dr. George mentioned the 10 people who had breached protocol and were caught. And if I remember, most of these people were negative. There were maybe two or three positive cases, but I could be corrected on that. You know, I think, and you said that it was a very difficult task in reaching, you know, finding these patient zeros or index cases. Are we going to, is it that sometimes our scope or our focus may be too narrow in this investigation in terms of coming to too soon a conclusion that the protocol is working fine at the border and it's breach of quarantine that is the problem? That is my concern, because if we don't find the root cause accurately, and we may very well not be able to do that if we can't track the index cases, are we going to overlook the... Because I'll refer to a scientific article. What we presently do, which is testing people after a first test abroad and then testing them here, is modeled to reduce risk of transmission by about 65%. So that is what is published in December, I think, 2020. And so that is where my concern is. So the science is saying that, but I feel as though we have already made some conclusions without the investigation being completed.
Doctors George and Phillips.
So let's go back a bit. The protocols have worked for us for quite a long period of time. The protocols have been modified when there was science available to modify the protocol. It was only when we had issues just in late December that we were put under pressure. But the issue is that the protocols have effectively worked for Barbados for a very long time. But what happened in December, as Anne has said, is that there was a lot of internal mixing. The travel at the borders had increased, and persons started to disobey the rules of Barbados. And those three things coming together has added to a soup that has arrived us in this situation. So I agree about the root cause analysis, but there have been some breakdowns with respect to how the public moves during the period. We know the issues. We have seen the risks that people have been taking around Christmas time, the parties that have taken place.
But respectfully, Dr. George, the parties did not bring COVID here.
Could I finish, please? This is a discussion, and we will learn from you, and I guess, if I may say, that you can learn from us. But all I'm saying is that there have been several issues around Christmas time that has probably brought us to this situation. I'm not saying that we're asking for excuses on this program. We in the ministry have to face these challenges and face these challenges head on. I will tell you this. You know very well that when we had the outbreak in the school, that was contained within 10 days. When there was the outbreak in the NAB, that was contained within 7 days. When there was the outbreak in a church, that was also contained. But this challenge is a bit more complex, and that is all I'm saying, that there are several moving parts to this. We can learn from you, you can learn from us. And I will say publicly, on this program that if there is expertise which you would like to offer the Ministry of Health through this difficult situation, that would be highly appropriate. The issues of these challenges of public health of our time, many countries are struggling with issues similar to what Barbados has. And if we didn't, and if those countries didn't have those, particularly those developed countries who have tremendous resources at their disposal, have not been able to do this, Barbados will continue to try. That's all I'm trying to let the public know.
Dr. George, based upon my examination of what's been going on, I am getting a distinct impression that people associated with BAMP have been trying to get the government to listen to some of their ideas, and that hitherto this, there has been distance, and the government appears to be intransigent in its position, because as far as it is concerned, this is its policy, you must take it or you must leave it. And in that context, therefore, your outreach today is particularly important. I mean, we brought people together today largely to see where we can actually find common ground and to help educate Barbadians as to what's happening on both sides of this fence, because we are all in this together. So, I mean, what I've picked up suggests that there's been too much of a divide on this particular matter right now. And if we can get some kind of movement forward as it relates to closer cooperation, I mean, if you listen to what was said by the BAMP president yesterday, it comes through loud and clear. So what is the next step in trying to bridge that divide if it is as bad as I detect?
Right. So before I let Philip speak, we in the ministry are very open to criticism. We in the ministry don't have all the answers. BAMP has to be our partner in this. The Barbados Nursing Association has to be a partner in this. The councils have to be a partner in this. And from my perspective, I believe that, as you say, if we put our, particularly in a small island where our resources are not as diverse and as well developed as other countries, that is important that we ask these agencies to work for the greater good. And that is the approach of the Ministry of Health. We have extended a hand to persons in the other non-governmental agencies who are willing to contribute to this entire process within the Ministry of Health. And we are very willing and able to hear all parties.
There's a question here. This person asserts that the Randall Phillips Polyclinic is closed and persons seeking COVID tests are being redirected to Winston Scott. They want to know whether this is true. Whether it is true that the closure is due to two members of staff testing positive for COVID, and what does this closure mean in applying pressure to the rest of the healthcare system? And I add that this is against the backdrop of people calling us even today to complain that it has taken them several days to get back their tests.
So I will let Philip and Dr. Philip speak about the getting back of test results. Mm-hmm. But in a time of uncertainty, there has been a lot of information external to the Ministry of Health that is being generated on social media. I will tell you that I am not aware at this present point in time of issues surrounding Randall Phillips being closed. And that is the challenge that we are having. Now, I will investigate, as I said, at this point in time, I'm unaware of that. But we are fighting, we are doing this because many times there are other forces that are trying to also drive an agenda. And that makes our work difficult. But this is the environment we live in. We will continue to try to be as upfront. In the initial discussion, you said that we need to package the information in a better way for the Barbadian public. And that is a welcome criticism. I will let Dr. Phillips speak to the issues surrounding late test results and the measures that we have put in place to try to make sure that the results are given in a timely manner.